وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His choicest blessings on you, Hazrat Mawlana. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you immensely for all the sacrifices you are making for His beautiful deen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al-Ansar International. When the Muhajireen left Makkatul Mukarramah, they had to leave behind their families, their wives, their relatives, their houses and everything else. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established a mu'akhat, a bond of brotherhood between them and the Ansar, so that the worry and stress of separation from their families may be replaced by the affection and kindness of the Ansar. They could help each other at times of need and console each other at times of calamity. The weak and downtrodden may get strength from the brotherhood of the strong and powerful. The weak may become a support for the strong. The senior may benefit from the junior, and vice versa. The scattered families of the Ansar and Muhajirin may be attached to a single brotherhood and become a single entity. There must be no sign whatsoever of division and separation. Everyone should hold on collectively to the rope of Allah Ta'ala. This ummah must be totally safeguarded against the divisions and differences which resulted in the destruction of the Bani Israel. Allah Ta'ala's hand of affection must be on them by virtue of their unity. If any corrupt matter of pride and conceit of the Jahiliyyah, the pre-Islamic era of ignorance, is still in the hearts, it must be completely uprooted. The heart which is filled with pride, conceit, arrogance, and feelings of superiority must be replaced with humility, servitude, brotherhood, and concern for one's fellow humans. The servant and the one who is served, the slave, and the master must all be on the same level. All worldly distinctions must be obliterated and replaced by the honor of taqwa and piety. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the noble Quran, Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. Surely the most honored amongst you is the one who is most Allah conscious. Based on the above reasons, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had established a brotherhood amongst the Muhajireen while they were in Makkah Mukarrama. And when he emigrated to Medina Munawwara, he established a similar bond between the Ansar and the Muhajireen. Hafiz ibn Abd al-Barr rahmatullah alayh says, Mu'akhat was established twice, once amongst the Muhajirin alone. One Muhajir was made a brother of the other. This Mu'akhat was established in Makkah al-Mukarramah. The second Mu'akhat brotherhood was established in Medina Munawwara between the Muhajirin and the Ansar. The second Mu'akhat was established 5 months after the Hijri between 45 Muhajirin and 45 Ansar. This was done in the house of Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Each muhajir was made a brother of each ansar. It is impossible to find an equivalent to the manner in which the ansar fulfilled the duties of brotherhood, their sincerity in the manner in which they fulfilled it, and the preference which they accorded to the muhajirin over their own selves. Let alone giving their wealth and properties to the muhajirin, the ansari who had two wives said to his muhajir brother, "You can choose whichever of the two you like. I will divorce her and you can marry her after that." The Sunan Abi Dawud and Jami'a Tirmidhi narrate from Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu who said, "No Ansar considered himself more eligible than his Muhajir brother in the dirham and dinar which he owned." On seeing this unique sympathy and consideration of the Ansar, the Muhajirin said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have never come across a people more sympathetic, considerate, sincere, loyal, and supportive in every situation than these people amongst whom we have settled down. We fear they are receiving all the rewards and we totally deprived of them." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, "No, you will be rewarded as well, provided you continue making dua for them." In other words, the kindness of dua is no less than the kindness of monetary help. In fact, it is more. Let alone a few dirhams, if all the treasures of the world are placed on one pan of the scale, and one sincere dua is placed on the other side of the scale, then inshallah, the pan containing the dua will be weightier. And I'm not saying inshallah as a conditional phrase, but as a means for acquiring blessings and benediction. In his Jami' Sahih Kitab al-Tawheed, Bab al-Mashya wal-Irada, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi quotes several ahadith wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Allah willing," not as a conditional phrase, but as a means of acquiring blessing. Wherever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam utilized the term insha'Allah, it was a means of acquiring blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When any beggar came to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and made dua for her, as is the habit of beggars, she would also make dua for the beggar and then give something to him or her. Someone asked her, "O Ummul Mu'mineen, O mother of the believers, you give charity to a beggar and also make dua for him, just as he makes dua for you?" So she replied, "If I only give him something without making dua for him, his favor to me would be more than my favor to him, because dua is far better than charity. And so I repay the dua with dua, so that my charity may remain pure and untainted. It must not be in return for any favor." Therefore, the person who gives a few dirhams and can get sincere duas in return should never let such an opportunity pass. As long as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkah Mukarramah, he was ordered to invite the people towards Tawheed and prohibit them from idol worship through proofs, evidences, and sound admonition. He had to bear the torments and mischief of the unbelievers with patience so that Allah's evidence may be established and the truth distinguished from falsehood. After the Hijrah, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum left their homes, families, relatives, homeland, and tribe solely out of love for Islam and love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, all the Arabs and Jews got together to completely wipe out the small group of Allah's servants from existence. When matters reached such a level, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given permission to fight the one who fights him. The following verse was revealed after the Hijrah. أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ نَصْرِهِمْ لَقَدِيرٌ. The order is given to those with whom the unbelievers fight because they have been wronged. Allah has the power to help them. After collating the Islamic traditions and practices of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala an, there remains no doubt whatsoever that just as jihad is made compulsory for the defense of Islam, offensive jihad for the removal of obstacles from the path of da'wah is also essential until the resurrection. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waged jihad for both reasons, to repulse the danger of the unbelievers and for the sake of propagating Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took a personal and active part in some battles. The battles in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took part are known as Ghazwa. These number 23 in total. A battle took place in 9 of them and not in the rest. Sariya. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dispatched armies under the command of certain Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. This is known as a Sariya. These total 43 in number. So we will now briefly relate the famous battles such as Badr, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, and the conquest of Makkah. The decisive and historical battle of Badr took place in Ramadan al-Mubarak in the second year of Hijri. This battle decided the fate of the Islamic Ummah and the true call to Allah Ta'ala, on whose result the destiny of the entire human race was confined. All the victories and successes which the Muslims achieved together thereafter, and all the kingdoms and governments which were established after it, are indebted to this clear victory which this handful of Muslims achieved on the battlefield of Badr. This is why Allah Ta'ala refers to it as Yawmul Furqan, the Day of Distinction. Badr is a village about 80 miles from Medina Munawwara, and this great battle took place here. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, together with 313 of his devoted Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, proceeded to the battlefield on the 8th or 12th of Ramadan al-Mubarak. The preparations for this battle can be gauged from the fact that the entire army had only 2 horses and 60 to 70 camels. The battle took place on a Friday on the 17th of Ramadan. Before the battle could start, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam occupied himself fully in beseeching Allah Ta'ala and crying before him. But on the eve of this battle, he said, "O Allah, if this handful of Muslims are wiped out, there will be no one on this earth left to raise the banner of Tawheed, no one left to take your name." Within a short while, the effects of failure and anxiety were visible in the ranks of the idol worshippers. Their ranks were scattered by the powerful onslaught of the Muslims, and the results were soon to be seen. The enemy withdrew in confusion and wanted to flee. The senior Quraysh leaders, Utba, Shayba, Abu Jahl, and Umayyah ibn Khalaf, were killed one after the other. In total, 70 of their men were killed and an equal number captured. From among the Muslims, 6 Muhajirin and 8 Ansar were martyred. Abu Lahab did not take part in the battle. When he received news of the defeat in Makkah, he remained silent in sorrow and anger. He died within 7 days as per the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Mutu bi ghayzikum," die with your anger. So this was a very decisive battle in the history of Islam. And with meager resources, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, although had initially other intentions to intercept the caravan of Abu Jahl, but then the caravan passed safely away, and then Abu Jahl decided to put an end to the Muslim strength and power in Medina Munawwara, and that is why the battle ensued in the battlefields of Badr, and humiliation faced the Kuffar, and Abu Jahl was killed in that particular battle as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give strength to the Muslim Ummah and once again bring Badr alive into the battles of the Muslims. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.